You know, I get paid to talk for a living. That's part of my job. Hey, it's Battle. And there's one thing that always is very interesting when it comes to drinking water. Now, of course, I've got tattoos. I do a rock show, and then we do the wrestling show. And I don't need a bottle of water with flowers or a goldfish. I need something that's going to reflect my inner rock star. Let me go ahead and tell you about the water that I have found. I'm talking about Liquid Death. Now, you've probably scrolled through Instagram and you've seen some of the videos of Liquid Death, and now you're hearing me talking about Liquid Death, and it's amazing because right now I'm parched, and it just so happens that I have a can of Liquid Death with me right now, so please hold that for a second, and let me grab a drink real quick. Okay. Now, let's talk some more about Liquid Death. They're bringing death to plastic, and the best part about it is you can get it online now at liquiddeath.com. Plus, are you ready for this? It is available at all Whole Foods. So, get yourself some Liquid Death. I mean, you see a lot of people signing their souls over to Liquid Death. That can't happen for me because I'm a ginger, so I have no soul. But I did sell my soul for a case of Liquid Death. And, well, you can grab your Liquid Death and not have to sell your soul like I did, even though I'm a ginger and I have no soul. You can get Liquid Death. It's available online, liquiddeath.com, and, of course, at all Whole Foods. Welcome, everybody, to the Battleground Podcast. I am your host, Battle. And, of course, my tag team partner, Eli, will be joining me here in a second. But before we get in today's interview with our best friend, Mike Bennett, there is a couple of things I got to talk to you about real quick. Please make sure that you follow us on Instagram. It is Battleground Podcast. Twitter is Battleground IHR. We greatly do appreciate everybody that follows us. And if you listen to the podcast on Apple, please make sure you give it 5 stars. Leave us a nice comment because that helps us out tremendously. Also, real quick, want to say thank you to our sponsors, Manscaped. Of course, if you use the bonus code Battleground at checkout, you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. And also, brand new to the show, let me introduce you to Liquid Death. Yes, you've probably seen their commercials all over your Instagram feed, and they're probably going to be on there now because I'm talking about Liquid Death, but they are amazing. Of course, it is Murder Your Thirst with Liquid Death. Of course, they're bringing death to plastic, and you can get it at liquiddeath.com, and it's available at Whole Foods. They have plain water, and they have sparkling water. I'm still new to the whole video thing. Sparkling water, Liquid Death. Please make sure you go get you some. And, well, without further ado, let's bring on Mike Bennett.
Unknown Studios. This is the Battleground Podcast.
Battleground! The Battleground! Battleground! The Battleground!
Your place for all things pro wrestling. From the independent scene to WWE, AEW, ROH, NWA, and Impact Wrestling.
That's the Battleground!
Topics as well as interviews with some of the biggest names in the game. The Battleground Podcast starts now.
Welcome to another episode of the Battleground Podcast. And of course, today's episode, we've got a good one. Let me bring my tag team partner in, Eli. There he is. Look at that. That's a nice, pretty flag there behind you there, Bob.
Yeah. You know, you got your banner made. So I just went ahead and did a flag, and that's the story. So
that's it. Of course, you know, we had the news, the heartbreaking news of the passing of a legend, an icon, Pat Patterson, the first Intercontinental Champion, the father of the Royal Rumble. Of course, a legend. And with the passing of him, of course, the wrestling world and all of us here on the show mourn that loss, and our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. And we have a guest on the show tonight, and it's a great guest, a guy that we've been trying to get on for a very long time. And it just so happens, there he is. Mike Bennett is our guest on the show. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I don't have a nice banner. I have a nice pink peachy wall. So I got this just for you.
It's funny because I'm using this one because I don't have a Ring of Honor flag. So
yet.
I was like, there's a couple organizations where you can't just get like Amazon flag. And, you know,
right.
So I don't have a Ring of Honor flag. I don't have an Impact flag. And I don't have an NWA flag.
Can you be honest with me? Is there actually a hole in that wall? And that's why you put the, is that what you're covering it up with? Cause I have two kids and I know that that's how I cover up all crayon marks and holes in my wall.
No, I just didn't want to go as crazy as Battle and put up all the soundproof stuff. So I was like, just throw that up.
I just put it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And you know, kind of before we were talking, you sent out a tweet about Pat Patterson and a very interesting joke that a lot of people have been tweeting about the joke. Can you tell us about the joke that you told us before we jumped on recording?
Yeah. So it was a joke that Pat hit me with one time backstage. I didn't really have like a very close relationship with Pat. It was just kind of in passing. And we would, you know, a lot of times I always sat by Gorilla when I wasn't doing anything just to watch the show. And oftentimes when Pat was there, he'd sit there too. So I had a lot of fun conversations with him, but I wasn't a top guy. So he really dealt with a lot of the top guys, but I saw that Big Show had put out a tweet about a joke that Pat had always said to him. And then I saw Drew McIntyre put out the same tweet. And I was like, hey, he hit me with that joke one time. And he'd always go up to people and he'd say, hey, do you know who was just talking about you? And you'd go, when you're at WWE, you're like, ooh, who? And you go, nobody. And you're like, great. And so he must have hit that with a lot of people. Cause like I said, I didn't have a very close relationship with him, but I remember he hit me with that joke and I was like, all right, fair enough. But then seeing Show and seeing Drew talk about it, I was like, all right, that must be one of his ongoing jokes that he constantly throws at people.
That's right. And to be in good company with that joke, cause I mean, you got to sit there and think it's Pat Patterson. And he, like you said, he walks up to you and he's like, hey, did you hear who's talking about you? Cause you're sitting there thinking. And then when he hits you with that, you're just like, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, when it's Pat too, and you know that he's only dealing with the top guys and dealing directly with Vince, and not only that, but I grew up watching Pat Patterson. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, cool. Oh, who? And then nobody. And you're like, yeah, all right. That sounds about right. Cool.
Yeah. I think the attitude era for him was kind of a blessing and a curse because obviously, you know, he got it, you know, the biggest audience he's ever been in and the younger crowd, you know, started to follow him and stuff. But I think a lot of his in-ring stuff gets overlooked because of that, you know?
Yeah. And I also wonder if, I don't know if it would bother him. And again, I don't know Pat that well, but Pat, he's really funny. And I don't know who he was in the attitude ever. Like, he's really, really funny.
Yeah.
And I think Dolph had tweeted about his sense of humor. And like, so I, you know, there's part of me that is like, well, maybe it's a curse. But then there's also part of me that, like, knowing Pat, maybe he loved it because it was the stuff he did as the Stooges was goofy, but it was fun, man. It was so much fun.
He definitely seemed to embrace it for sure.
Yeah. Of course, you saw it on Legends House when all the legends got together. And of course, him being in there, that was as well. But let's jump into this. You know, 2020 has been a tough year for everyone this year. What has been the highlight of 2020 thus far for you?
I don't know if this is going to sound cliche or stupid, but I've got to spend so much time with my kids that I normally wouldn't have gotten because I'd either be on the road or they'd be in daycare or me and my wife would both be on the road. I have a 10-month-old and I have a 2-year-old, and these are really precious years of their life. Mm-hmm. When I had Freddie, or I didn't have Freddie, my wife did all the road. My wife had Freddie. She'll kill me if she thought I had her. It's like I was in the hospital when Freddie was born, and then less than 24 hours, I was gone because I had to go to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And it was my first WrestleMania, and I was actually going to tell them whether they cared or not. I was going to say no, but my wife was actually, she's like, you have to go. You have to go to your first WrestleMania. You have to be involved. So a lot of Freddie's first year of life, I wasn't around that much. Like, I was there and I got to spend a lot of, but I wasn't around like I'm around now. And now having we had Carver in February, 2 months before we got released. So when we got fired and then we were stuck in quarantine, we had a 2-month-old and Freddie was just turning 2 at the time. So I got to spend all this time and watch them grow. And I've got to see Carver, my son, my second child, grow in a way that I didn't get to see Freddie. So it's actually been really cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a, you know, I think the adverse thing, you know, a lot of people didn't foresee anything like that, but now working from home and probably, you know, spending more time with family has definitely been a positive with the COVID stuff for sure. So, and it had to be frustrating too, you know, especially with WWE, you know, you might get called out and then they don't use you and you're just like, I could have just sat at home, guys. You know, like, you know,
I left for WrestleMania not even knowing if I was on the show. I didn't find out I was in that battle royal till the night before. So I essentially left to go do access and to do autograph signings is what I thought. And I was told there was a possibility I could.
Yeah.
And I didn't find out till they emailed me the list that night. They were like, here's the list of guys. Have fun. I was like, oh, I'm on it.
What year was that?
It was my first year there. So it was New Orleans. So
2018.
18. Yeah.
Okay. I was at that WrestleMania. So okay. Yeah, I was thinking, dang, I think, cause was that the one, was that the Andre Battle Royal that you ran? Okay. Yeah. That was Matt Hardy won that one. I think.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I couldn't tell you. I think I was checked out at that point.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting. Yeah. I'll tell you some stuff about my experience when we're off the.
This is the stuff that doesn't make the video, by the way.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we'll cut that off. So not too long ago, you challenged Nick Aldis for the NWA World Heavyweight Title. It was a debut show for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. What was that experience like? And, you know, especially with that title still having the prestige it's always had, and with Ring of Honor and NWA, you know, having a working relationship, would you want another title shot, or would you be open to challenging for another NWA title?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I would love a rematch. I think the way we set the match up too, and the way the match finished, I feel like, it's like, it's perfect. It's
the
perfect.
Door is open for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like that's the way, it should be. And I would love it. But honestly, and I will say this till I'm blue in the face, because I've been in this mindset where there tends to be a lot of negativity around wrestling. And so I'm really trying to focus on just talking about like really positive stuff. Mm-hmm. And lately, like I've been talking about how well Ring of Honor has handled this pandemic. And I think we need like more places need to talk about the good companies that have handled this pandemic well. But the reason I want to talk about this is because Nick was actually the one who reached out to me. He said, he specifically said to me, I know what you're going through. I've been in your shoes and you're trying to reinvent yourself. And I want to help you do that. And that was his mindset going into that 10 pounds of gold. And for me as a worker, but as just a human being, I was like, wow, like that's just, you don't get that much in any industry, let alone the professional wrestling industry. So it always stuck with me, and it always meant, it's still to this day, because that match actually helped me find my love for pro wrestling again, because I had kind of fallen out of love with it. And then getting fired in the middle of a pandemic, not knowing what the wrestling world was going to look like after that, it helped me fall even further out of love. Cause I was like, do I want to invest all this time and energy into an industry that I don't even know what it's going to look like post pandemic?
Right.
But that stuff with Nick and just being so real in those interviews and being raw, like, I really viewed that match as like a springboard again, as a catalyst, as a way to show people, no, I'm not Mike Kanellis. I've always been Mike Bennett, and this is what he can do. And let me show you what he can do. And let me show you what he can be going forward. So that I think like 20 years from now, when I look back at like my career, that's going to be, I really think that's going to be a moment that I highlight and I point to and go, this is kind of when things started to turn around, or this is when I knew exactly who I was going to become in the world of professional wrestling. So that match was and still is super important to me.
Yeah. We're huge NWA fans. We had Nick on not too long ago, and they've done an excellent job with the, like their hype and stuff. I mean, the 10 pounds of gold leading into him and Cody was phenomenal.
Right.
And you know, the promos you were able to do, I mean, it was solid. And you know, it's kind of like a lot of companies, obviously, I think if NWA could get in front of that big crowd, I think they would really kind of launch back out to where they used to be, you know. So but anyways, it was a great match, and you know, I hate that you came up short. We kind of thought that Nick was dropping it because he's just had it for so long. We're like, somebody's got to take it, you know, like why not? And this is the first episode, so let's do it with a bang. So, you know,
and then you have Mike cutting those killer promos of like the pure emotion, because watch it, and like being a parent myself, like watching Mike's promo, you literally felt that in the promos. And I was telling Eli, we were texting about it, and I was like, this is it. Like Mike is about to be the new NWA champion.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny too, because that was my mindset going in when I was talking back and forth with Nick about it. He said to me too, which is funny. He's like, yeah, with the 10 pounds of gold, we try to just make winning the most important thing. And he was like, what a concept, huh? And I was like, yeah. And then that's when my brain started to go. And I was like, all right, so how do I want to portray this? And then I was like, well, what is winning this? What would winning this world title mean to you? And that's kind of where I took it, because in my head, it was always, this is a prestigious world title. This is my first match back since 3 years of just, irrelevance. So what do I want to do? And how do I want to be portrayed? And what would it mean if I won this as my first match out of WWE? Mm-hmm. So that's just how I viewed it. And it was real. Like, I know there's this fourth wall, but everything I talked about was how I was feeling. And I remember talking to my wife about it, and she was like, just tell people how you feel. Like, yeah. What else do you have to lose? Just go in and tell people how you feel. Nobody has any, like, no one's going to be like, you're a babyface or you're a heel. They'll decide and then just talk about how you feel. And that's how I went into it.
Right. And when you look,
I think now with the wrestling fans is that I don't think a lot of people see kayfabe or that fourth wall anymore. Like, they know it's real. It's a lot of people are going, like you said, going by their real names, and there's not that kayfabe of like the Undertaker being the Undertaker 24/7.
Right. Yeah. I think people are connecting with that. And I think social media has made that possible, where we see into people's lives and we see who people really are. And I think if you can, wrestling has always been about connecting with people emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a point now in wrestling where you just have to connect with them differently. And it's not always going to be so cut and dry. I'm bad, you're good. There's other ways people connect with you. And that's, oh, this guy had an addiction. I had an addiction. He's fighting through it too. I'm fighting through it too. I get this guy. Oh, he's kind of a jerk on TV, but I still get him. So I'm going to connect, you know, like there's different avenues just by, oh, that guy has a family. I have a family. He has a daughter and a son. Me too. Like, there's just different ways that I think now in wrestling, we can connect with people that we never could have before.
Right. It reminds me of kind of, this is a little veering off the topic a little bit, but you know, when, Mark Hamill started voicing the Joker in the '90s, you know, his approach to it was unlike anything that had ever happened before. And you actually had people like rooting for the Joker, you know what I mean? Like, his performance was like, yeah, he's a maniac. I get it. But he was also like, he made mistakes and he was sloppy and he was in love with Harley. And, you know, it's just like you just said, I mean, if you apply that to wrestling, it's the same thing, you know, I mean, you don't have to go, I'm the bad guy, you know, I mean, you can just, yeah. So,
the game is emotion. How can we connect emotionally? That's theater. That's, that's TV.
Yeah.
And now with no crowd, you got to think outside the box, because you're connecting with a lens now. What is the person that's sitting on their couch or behind their TV screen or their computer screen? How can I connect with them emotionally without the help of 10,000 fans or 20,000 fans or 100 fans?
And, you know, wrestling can lend itself to the, you know, the Rock, you know, concert spectacle that Vince created and all that stuff. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's two guys in a ring telling a story, you know? So it's been interesting to see the, you know, I think you did some stuff with Warrior Wrestling, right?
Yeah.
I think you did a weekend up there. I mean, it's just like the feedback and stuff from that. I mean, they didn't have a $5 million budget, but I mean, like, it was like a critically acclaimed weekend, you know?
It was amazing. They did it right. And I think, again, like I said before, we need to talk about companies that are doing it right and doing it right, because there's all this talk about how WWE is doing it wrong. We all know they're doing it wrong. Let them do it wrong. But the companies that are doing it right in a health crisis that we haven't seen in 100 years, the companies that are helping people, keeping people employed, doing proper protocols, we need to talk about them. UWN out in LA, they make everyone get tested. They make everyone be safe. Everyone wears masks. Ring of Honor tests us a bajillion times. Ring of Honor fired nobody during the pandemic and continued to pay people that were even on per appearance deals. That needs to be talked about, because this is an unprecedented time. Let the big company screw up. Fine. The good companies, let's talk about that.
And that was the one thing we had PCO on not too long ago, right? As I guess, you know, our Ring of Honor kind of suspended the tapings of the shows. And the thing that PCO said that stood out that I thought was a great thing was, he said, nobody got fired. everybody still got paid. Regardless if we were doing shows or not, they still stayed on the payroll. No furloughs, no layoffs, no nothing. And I was like, that's the kind of company you want to work for.
That, and to me, again, and I know everyone always goes back to, well, it's a business. You got to make money. I understand that. But again, when you're dealing with a health crisis that we haven't seen in 100 years and probably won't see for another, like this is once in a lifetime. This is, you know, like we're never going to see this probably in our lifetime, and pray to God, not in our kids. Yeah,
I mean, this is like the plague.
Yes. And I'm sorry, but history is going to look back at this time and go, who did it right? It's like, I'm a big fan of Hamilton, and there's a song, history has its eyes on you. And that's going on right now. And I'm sorry, but the companies like Ring of Honor that are doing good actual philanthropy work for their employees, like they're doing good work for their employees, and they're just doing it because they can and they should.
Yep.
It's not a PR move. It's just,
it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And like, you know, and other companies are doing it too. Impact did it. AEW did. Like, let's talk about the fact that these people are going, yes, is this the best business decision? Maybe not, but maybe it is, because when you build a brand like that, that people buy into that. There's a reason why people buy into brands. It's because they do good work. They don't just say they do good work. They actually do good work. And I think we should talk about it.
I was
just going to chime in. It's kind of ironic. About an hour before we hopped on here, I saw a headline. WWE got some kind of a web award for their COVID stuff. And I was like, what? Yeah. What are you talking about? Like, I almost spit my drink out. I was like,
probably their award. They probably gave themselves.
Right. They probably slipped, someone in Florida some more money like they did. And yeah. So anyways, it was very funny that they got some kind of recognition for that.
I don't know what planet they're living on. Jeez.
I will say this, that something really cool that not a lot of people get to do is working with your significant other. And of course you get to do that with Maria. What are like the pros and cons of working in the same company as your wife?
The pros is I get to travel with her, and I never have to like leave her or miss her because she's with me all the time. The cons is she's incredibly critical and she hurts my feelings all the time.
I'm pretty sure that's any wife though. So.
But that's a pro and a con, because she's my biggest supporter, but she's also my biggest critic. If I have a bad match, she ain't sugarcoating it. If I have a good match, she'll tell me it was good. And that's it. Like, she doesn't prop me up. She wants me to get better. She expects me to be better. And that's why I love her. Like, I, some people might be like, well, that's your wife. Don't you want her to be like, no, I want her to be honest with me. We have an honest, respectful relationship, and she expects it out of me. I'm a little bit nicer to her than she is to me. So I'll always be nice about her promos. But if I think something's bad or didn't work, I'll tell her. And like, I think that's why we've been able to separate our work relationship and our real life relationship, because we respect each other on both fronts. I respect her as a human and as my wife, but as far as a performer and in this industry, I have the utmost respect for her. So honestly, I love working with her. I've had the time of my life in all these companies with her, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah. And you know, you want a partner that pushes you, you know, you don't want a yes person. Oh, that was the best match I've ever seen. Like, okay. It probably wasn't, you know, so that's a good dynamic to have. So I'm sure it's kind of harder now with kids, you know, if y'all both have to go and all that, but
that's the hard part. That sucks. But luckily we have my parents and we have her parents who are just like, I don't think either of us would have been successful in our careers without our respected parents. They have just, by God, my parents, they supported me. They helped me. They gave me a place to live while I chased this pipe dream of a wrestling career. So like, it's, they've been the biggest blessing I could ever ask for.
That's awesome. You had mentioned recently, and I don't remember if this was on another podcast or it was just someone took a quote from you or something, but you'd mentioned that you think leaving Ring of Honor was the biggest mistake of your professional career so far. If you knowing what you know now and you had to go back, if you had to replay that decision, do you think it would have been different? Like, do you think you still would have left Ring of Honor and maybe just not gone to WWE, or do you think you would have stayed? Like, what do you think you would do now looking back on that decision?
you know, so my phone or my computer is going to die. So I'm going to plug it in. But that's why I'm walking and moving. I don't want to lose you guys. Dude, I'm telling you guys, I've had the worst technology day today in the history of
talking about the 2020. That's what it is.
I was
on 2020.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm usually on point with these media things, too. And today's been a day. Let me tell you.
We allow wrestlers to walk on the show. So
it's do you? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to get approval.
I mean, we're not professional to begin with, so we're good to go.
Don't worry, I'm about as far from professional as you can get. All right, let me see if all right, we're back in business. All right, I did say I never should have left, but it's hard for me to. Let me see if I can explain it. So professionally, I think leaving Ring of Honor was the worst move I ever made. Personally, it was by far the best because within those 5 years, I got sober. I had 2 children and I bought a house. I don't know, like, and I grew. I grew as a man. I grew as a husband. I grew as a father. I learned, I can't sit there and say it was a bad decision because I became a better person, and I don't want to downplay that professionally. Besides my run at Impact, which I loved, like my run at WWE was a dud, and I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, well, you know, it sucked. It wasn't very good. I didn't do very much. It won't be memorable, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But, so from a career standpoint, it leaving Ring of Honor was the worst decision because when I went back this last time, I just remember being there and just looking around at the locker room and seeing guys like Jay Lethal and the Briscoes and Dalton Castle and Taven and all these people that were there when I left. And I was like, why? This is family. Why did I leave home? Mm-hmm. Like, this is okay. This, I can make a living here and I can have fun here and I can be happy. And this is a place I can bring my kids and they can meet people that I love. Like I love the Briscoes as brothers. So it's like, yeah, this is where I want to be. And I probably shouldn't have left, but again, hindsight's 2020. So it's a double-edged sword because professionally I shouldn't have left, but personally I can't take back the fact that like, I don't want to throw away how much I grew as a human. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
You know, it's one of those things where like, it's like a mixed bag of emotions.
Yeah. Kind of bittersweet, I guess.
Right.
Ah, you know what's in the air? Autumn is in the air, and Manscaped is here to ensure you don't carve your pumpkins when you're grooving. And well, by pumpkins, I actually mean your boys downstairs. In fact, Manscaped is on a mission to change the way you approach caring for your balls. And great news, they just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia. All right, guys, we've all been there before, manscaping, just trying to clean things up, and you nick yourself, and it's not a good feeling. Ladies, you've heard your guys complaining about it, and it's never good. So let's not forget about it's the best trimmer for your butt, balls, and body. I'm talking about the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps reduce grooming accidents. Their new Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer uses the same skin-safe technology when you're trimming those delicate nose hairs of yours. Now, we've all had a nose hair removal, and here's the deal. It sucks when you like literally pull your brain up through your nose with certain nose hair removers. That's not going to happen with the new Weed Whacker. Of course, you've got the Crop Care Kit, which includes the Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand. The Crop Cleanser Body Wash, a full body wash that you can also use on your hair. And then they've got the Crop Mop Ball Wipes, because you never know when an opportunity strikes, so you should always be prepared. Plus, you don't want to stink when you sit around that Thanksgiving dinner, because we've all been there, guys. You're like, is that me or what is that? Yeah. So another thing, if you suffer from stank foot or stand on your feet all day, then I have a product for you. I'm talking about the Foot Duster Foot Deodorant, which is a free gift. The cooling tea tree oil offers a pleasant experience for the stankiest feet and allows you to take off your shoes in confidence. Now, this is probably one of my favorites, the Manscaped Refined Cologne. It's a cost-effective way to smell clean and fresh for your date. I wear this on a daily basis. It smells absolutely delightful. Yeah. Of course, there's also the Crop Cleanser Hair and Body Wash, which was designed with aloe vera and sea salt to leave your skin clean, fresh, moisturized, and reinvigorated. Now, I will tell you this. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free. pretty sure that's how you say it. I went to community college. But so you know, your manhood is in good hands. And right now, you can get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. All you got to do is use that code BATTLEGROUND. Once again, 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com if you use the code BATTLEGROUND. And when you do, let us know that you used it. Show your support for the show and post when you get your Manscaped package. Once again, get 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com with code BATTLEGROUND. Make your balls a priority this fall. Manscaped.com, keyword BATTLEGROUND at checkout. Get 20% off free shipping.
You know, I feel as if, and I, we don't take a lot of credit for stuff on the show, but I feel as if that we are going to take credit for the fact that we have Mike Bennett and Matt Taven kind of back together, because we had Taven on a few months ago, and this was kind of right after your release. And I was like, hey, Matt, what's the chances of you and Mike teaming up again? And of course, you have rich history in New Japan with Matt Taven, and a lot has changed with them since you were there. Are you looking forward to returning? And if so, who are some of the people you're looking to face? Are you and Taven going to go after those titles again? I mean, what's the thing?
Yeah, so I kind of joke all the time. I say me and Matt have been planning our reunion for 5 years, literally. It just, you know, we are best friends, and it's like, think of your closest friend, and that's me and Taven. He's family. He's my brother. He was the justice of the peace at our wedding. Like, he married me and Maria. That's how nice. Close.
That's awesome.
Us. Yeah. So. Going back to Ring of Honor, I always knew right out of the gate, the Kingdom's coming back. Like, that's, I felt like we had unfinished business. The last time we wrestled together, he tore his ACL. It was Final Battle 2000. It just didn't feel right. Yeah. And he went on to do amazing things in Ring of Honor. So I'm so happy about that. But I think we both know we want to do more. And I think we both know that, I think we both knew that back then I wasn't who I am now as a wrestler. I'm not who I am now as a person. I still had my issues. I still had my problems. And I think there's that thought in the back of our head that's like, well, with a clearer headed Mike and still being Taven, and he's grown as a wrestler too. So it's like, what can we do now? And I know we've both talked. We definitely want to go back to Japan. We definitely want, last conversation we had, Taven's like, Mexico and Japan, let's make it happen. Let's do it. What do we have to do? And I was like, well, the world has to stop being on fire.
Right.
And then after we can take care of it. But I think we want to go all in the Kingdom, wherever we got to go. I'm just excited. Like, I'm excited to see what we can do as we're both different wrestlers now. And I'm kind of excited to see what we bring to the table.
And something else that we're kind of excited about is you've got your Ring of Honor. You return this week against a guy that we know that has been on the show as well. You're going against Vincent, who has some history with Matt Taven. Are you kind of nervous for this match? Are you ready? Like, what's going on in your mind preparing for Vincent, who's a loose cannon?
You know, it's funny because Vincent.
Yeah.
It's like, he's another one. I've known him for a long time. I helped break him in the wrestling industry. Like, he's been a friend of mine, and now he's a lunatic. So like, one of those things where you don't know what to expect, but also on the flip side, I don't know. I've been through a lot in my life. I should be dead. And I'm not. So like, he doesn't scare me. If I'm not afraid.
Right. Because he's not like a boogeyman that he says.
Yeah. I feel like I've been through far darker things in my life than he can portray. I'm just, I'm excited because it's my first Ring of Honor match back. Again, it's this mix of emotions. I'm so happy to be back at Ring of Honor. I'm so excited to have a match, a featured match on Ring of Honor TV, but you now have to wrestle one of your best friends who's now. So it's like, that's not the first match back that I wanted. The first match back, I wanted Kingdom reigning supreme, high fiving people, hugging people, whatever. But sometimes you have to just go with the cards you're dealt. We're probably going to hurt each other, and we're probably going to hit each other hard. It's probably going to be violent. And, it's the name of the game. I'm okay with it. I know he's okay with it. So
Yeah, he's a scary dude.
we had him on right before he made that transition.
Okay. Yeah.
To that when he was on and he was Horror King, we talked all kinds of stuff, and then just watching this character evolve, and I'm like, what? Yeah. What is going on?
That's like I remember talking to Taven about it, and I was like, I always knew he liked horror movies, but I didn't know he liked them that much. You know, it's like when I was, it's like I like rock music. Doesn't mean I'm going to go out dressed as Bon Jovi or as, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I'm probably going to get killed that I said Bon Jovi at rock.
he rocked it one time now.
Yeah. That's I'm like, I'm going to get killed for that.
JBJ but, had some hits now. We got to talk about it.
you get my gist. That's
yeah,
my
point. Yeah.
You know, I there's certain topics. I won't talk video games because I'll say one wrong thing and people kill me. I won't talk or anime because it just people will probably come and blow my house up. But
yeah, I can play Madden and Call of Duty. That's about as far as video game talks as I get.
I've crushed the Resident Evil games and then I just turn off my PlayStation. That's mm-hmm.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Especially in the Ring of Honor bubble. I gotta play as many games as I can because we're just in a hotel room.
I only put in about 50 hours on my PS4 and it was probably the least amount of gaming I've done on a system. So when, you know, the PS5 came out, like, I'm not even going to buy one. I don't think so.
I got to get one. I got to go to the Ring of Honor bubble soon. And I want a PS5. I told my wife, I was like, I don't care if it's a Christmas present and you give it to me 2 months early. I was like, I need this.
Gotta have it.
My Ring of Honor bubble, but
yep. You know, gotta have it.
Stuff. They're hard to find.
So kind of bouncing off of that New Japan question. One thing, I mean, I think we're excited about is the potential for you guys against the Good Brothers, because of the contract they have with Impact, they can work at New Japan as well. So I think that's a match that we kind of have on the radar. We're kind of waiting for the world to reset so we can get that match. So, right. So you kind of mentioned earlier, you know, we talked about, the Nick Aldis match for the NWA title kind of being like maybe a turning point in your career. Who are some of the other opponents you think are, you know, maybe you've had your best matches with, or you brought the best out of them, or both? Like, who are some other ones you would kind of put on that list with Aldis?
You know, so right off the top of my head, the first person I think of is Lance Storm. When I got the chance or the opportunity to do
that was Ring of Honor too, right?
That was Ring of Honor. Yeah. When I got the chance to work him at, one was WrestleMania weekend. Then another one was, pay-per-view up in Toronto. And then another one was a Ring of Honor TV taping. But those matches, I think, those matches gave, the like, I always felt like I was kind of on the outside bubble of Ring of Honor, where like fans didn't really accept me yet. They were just kind of like, oh, who's this kid? What's mm-hmm. he doing? Like, why is he here? And you know, my matches weren't really up to par with what Ring of Honor wanted, and that was on me. And again, I take full accountability for that. Lance was the one that finally gave me the confidence to, come out of my shell and to put on these matches and to be like, no, you can do this. You do belong here. And I, to this day, when he was a producer at WWE and I was still there, I thanked him for that. Like we built this, a great friendship out of it. And, he's a mentor, he's a friend. We still talk to this day. And that always just stands out because I was really struggling at Ring of Honor at that point where I couldn't get my feet underneath me. Mm-hmm. And he gave me that foundation. He put on matches. Like I remember fans coming up to me and they were like, that was the match that I became a fan. Those three matches or that one match or those two matches. Like that. And it just, when someone of that magnitude and someone that you have that much respect for goes out of there, it's again, it goes back to the Nick Aldis thing. Like I have so much respect for Nick as a human and as a person and as a wrestler. And for him to go out of his way to help me when he doesn't have to. And the same thing with Lance, there are moments in your career that you'll never forget. And again, because people help you and they support you, those moments always stick out. And it's kind of why, my mission for the last like 3 or 4 years is I just want to help people. I want to elevate people. I want to elevate younger wrestlers. I want to elevate older wrestlers that haven't been given a break. I want to help guys. I've had the opportunity to wrestle for all these major companies, travel the world, be on national television, do things I never imagined in my wildest dreams. And it was because I was given help. It's because no one else paid it forward. And that's my goal now. I'm going to pay it forward. Now, I still have goals of my own, but I'm like, I can do both at the same time. And I learned that through guys like Lance Storm and Nick Aldis. Like, that's what you do. And that's how the industry keeps rolling.
Right. And I mean, like, if you're using the pie analogy, there's enough pie to go around for everyone. You know, I mean,
there's too much.
Yeah. There's almost too much, you know, we were breaking it down. We're like, all right, there's wrestling on Monday. There's stacked stuff on Tuesday. There's stuff on Wednesday. There's stuff on the weekends. There's pay-per-views. And it's just like, you know, as a kid, you're kind of like, I wish I could watch wrestling every day. And now you have that option. And it's kind of like, woof, to overload, you know, you kind of got to reset it a little bit.
I tell you that all the time. I say, if anyone that says there's not enough room on the top, they're lying to you. They just want you on the top. They're trying to keep you down. There's plenty of top room, top space, penthouse room, penthouse suite to go around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you kind of addressed this. You talked about doing more stuff with Ring of Honor. Now, of course, we haven't seen anything officially announced, so we're kind of letting that be to you. Can you comment on your status of Ring of Honor? Have you officially signed with them, or are you still kind of...
I haven't officially signed with them. You know, I take everything right now in this world with a grain of salt, because again, the world is on fire and it's not like we're selling out arenas right now. It's not like, you know, so you have to take everything with a grain of salt. You have to understand that again. Yes. And we talked about it earlier, but these companies are still businesses and they have to make business decisions. They did good work with not firing anyone, but going forward, you still have to be a profitable business. Mm-hmm. So I'm not under contract with them, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm home, man. And I've said that to them. I've talked to them. I don't care if this hurts me financially. I'm home. I'm happy. I'm staying there. They're going to have to drag me out. And I think they know that they won't drag me out, but that once I went there, when I returned, I was just like, seeing Lethal, seeing the Briscoe, seeing Dalton, seeing everyone backstage, all these friends that I came up with, management, you know, it just seeing Bobby Cruz and seeing Todd Sinclair, who I came up with in the New England scene. It just, why would I go anywhere? I'm happy. Right. I get to wrestle and make a living. I'm good.
And that's the thing is like we watched that when you showed up and just the interaction with you and Matt at the end and everything, like you can genuinely tell that you are happy. And then seeing this in the interview, like you're smiling the entire time. Anytime you talk about Ring of Honor, like you have that grin and it's like, you can genuinely tell that you are very happy to be home.
Yeah. It's just, that last TV taping, I remember I came back and I just said to my wife, I was like, yep. I put out a tweet, and it was because back in like 2018, in my head, I was like, I need to leave WWE and go back to Ring of Honor. And that's what my gut was telling me. And then after this last TV taping, I tweeted out, you know, trust your gut, because that was my gut. I didn't listen to it back then. But I'm listening to it now, and you just, your heart, your brain, your mind, they always have a way of knowing exactly who you're meant to be and who you're supposed to be. And for some reason, we all always fight it. We all like, no, you don't know me, brain. You don't know me, conscience. Mm-hmm. Stop talking to me like that. And then you go, oh, you do know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I've started to listen to that voice as opposed to the voice that's going, you suck, go do this, make more money, brighter lights. Like, mm-hmm. Screw that voice.
Well, it's kind of that whole thing. Like, you can't put a price on happiness. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm sure you were making really good money in WWE, but then like at what it cost, you know what I mean? Like,
I was miserable.
Absolutely.
I'm a firm believer that if you're doing something you're happy about, the money will eventually come.
Yeah. Well, and it'll show too, you know, I mean, your performance will improve, your relationships. I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of a, Avalanche, you know, like once you change that mentality, I'll get back to that. I have another Ring of Honor question. So they just, you know, they just reintroduced the Pure Championship that, the foundation won, Jonathan Grisham. Was that, is that something, do you have any aspirations of going after that title? You know, it's very, very prestigious. I mean,
he said that without hesitation. He just said, hesitation.
Dude, it's again, when I tell you, I refound my love for professional wrestling, I found love in professional wrestling that didn't exist before. Uh-huh. I was never a fan of pure technical wrestling. Mm-hmm. I've become a fan. I've watched all these old pure title matches with Nigel and Brian. And like, I'm like, you know, and I think because I had a stigma of what technical wrestling was.
I think a lot of people are that way.
And I watched guys do it good, like Gresham and Lethal. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say good. I watched guys do it well. My professor family, my whole family's teachers, they'll kill me.
You're not doing good. You're not Superman.
I found a love for all this different kind of wrestling. Mm-hmm. And one, again, I started, like, I was always a, I always knew Kobashi was good. I always watched some of his matches, but then I went back and I like studied his matches, and like some of those All Japan matches, some of those Noah matches, when I talk about being real in professional wrestling, mm-hmm. that's about as real as it gets. Like there's raw, genuine emotion in those matches. Oh. Like you can feel it. And and that's what I've started to love about wrestling. Like we talk about it all the time, but wrestling is all emotion. And again, if you can connect with people emotionally, you have them, you've won, mm-hmm. you've got them. And I never thought you could connect with people emotionally through technical wrestling or through pure wrestling.
Yep.
But watching Gresham, watching Lethal, watching Nigel, watching Brian, I was like, no, you can. You absolutely can. It's just how you do it. And I want to take this time. Gresham is unbelievable. Like mm-hmm. And that's not the knock on anyone else, but it's like, as far as technical wrestling, there's Gresham and then there's everybody else. Like yep. it's not even, and if his goal is to bring back technical wrestling, he's the only one that can do it. If he can't do it, then there's no hope for it.
And ironically, not only does Gresham have the pure title, but he's also one half of the tag team title. So
with Mr. Lethal. Yep. Yeah, for sure. That would be a double insult to take his pure title and then y'all take the tag title.
Take the tag title. Yeah. Well, have a new goal. Now. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I think what you're saying, I mean, you know, for me growing up, when someone said, you know, they're like a technical wrestler, my mind went to like collegiate wrestling, yeah. you know, and it's like, I want to see Sting. Like, I don't want to see that, you know? And so, you know, I'll say this too. I think at one point All Japan was the best promotion on the planet. I mean, I think they've gotten a little overshadowed with the explosion of New Japan. Yeah, but I mean, if you go back and look at some of that stuff from, I don't know what, late 80s into the early 2000s, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Even some of the early 80s stuff was just unreal, you know? But it's like you said, I mean, it's all about telling the story. So whether you're in paint and you're jumping off of, you know, whatever, or you're just doing it from the ground game with moves and stuff. I mean, it's just, so we were really excited that they brought back that title. I think the fans have wanted it for, you know, at least over a decade or so, however long it's been.
That's such the cool thing about pro wrestling is, to me, you can take someone like Kobashi, who I think is amazing and represents pro wrestling to a T. Mm-hmm. And then you can take someone like Orange Cassidy, who I think is amazing and represents pro wrestling to a T. And mm-hmm. it's like, that's pro wrestling. That's what
different flavors.
Yeah. And it's just like, I'm so sick of this argument of what's good and what's bad. What's good is if you like it. If
yeah.
Okay. It's subjective. You don't like horror movies. Don't watch horror movies.
Yeah.
Bad. It just means you don't like them. You like comedy. Good. Watch. I happen to like comedy movies and horror movies. Maria. Yeah. Hates horror movies. She always watches sci-fi. I'm not that big of a sci-fi guy, but that doesn't mean I think it's bad. I just don't enjoy it. That's wrestling.
Yeah. And that's what's frustrating for people like, not trying to give too much time to someone else, but you know, Jim Cornette, legend in the business, but he has this box where he's like, that's not professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? I mean, it's, you know, I kind of joke and say it's like the Hillbilly Opera, you know, I mean, it's a performance with the actors are doing their own stunts.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, and like you just said, the movie analogy, there's not like one type of movie. There's, you know, cartoons, which I'm sure you have to watch a ton with your kids. Oh, yeah. You know, Hamilton, there's sci-fi, there's horror. I mean, there's so many different flavors. And, yeah, you know, it's just so short-sighted for someone who's a legitimate legend like Jim Cornette, who can't see and he rips Orange Cassidy and, you know, all that's stupid. Like, no, he's over. That's the end game. If you can get over, that's it.
My mind when it comes to wrestling, and again, I'll probably be torn to shreds for this, but it's we're a TV show. It's phony. It's make believe. Mm-hmm. Like once you realize that, it's just, you see wrestling. Like, but when you're trained, like when I was coming up, it is ingrained and instilled in you. Like, no, this is the way the business is done. Mm-hmm. Don't do it this way. You're disrespectful. And I fed into that and I believed it. And right, for the long time, like I said before, like I couldn't get my feet underneath me at Ring of Honor. And my mindset was, well, they just don't know good wrestling. Not what can I do to become, to get over with them?
Right. It
was their fault. That's, and now I'm like, wait, what? No, they're the consumer. I'm giving them a product. If they don't like it, I have to change.
It's my product, right? Exactly.
Because if I make the iPhone and nobody buys it, I'm not going to go, well, they just don't know a good phone.
Right.
No, I'm going to go, no, I gotta fix this. What's the problem with the iPhone?
And it's like, you know, what you said too, with like people coming up and trainers and stuff, that some of them still, you know, it's the whole thing like protecting the business or protecting the secrets. Bro, there's no secrets. It's gone. This is 2020. Yeah. You know, I mean, and I don't even think people remember this, but there was a show, I think it was on Fox, but it was the same guy that exposed magicians.
Oh yeah. Pro Wrestling Secrets.
He did the same thing with pro wrestling. That was in the Attitude Era. That was like 99 or 2000. Like, the book's been open for decades. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you take that approach that you have, and you know, it's a performance, your creativity explode, you know, the sky's the limit. I mean, you can have someone like Brian Cage and Orange Cassidy in the same ring.
Yeah. And that's like, when I talk to younger guys, that's kind of what, because I think wrestling is trending in that direction. I think we've gotten enough guys to break through, like the Steens and the Bucks and the Bryans and the Punk, like the guys that were from my generation, the Coles and the Kyle O'Reillys, that like they have this mindset of wrestling is so much more than just this singular, like the singular box. I think wrestling is trending in the direction where it's like, no, all wrestling is accepted. Mm-hmm. All wrestling is, if you enjoy it, let's do it. If it gets over, we know that it's not a real, it's not a real competition. And I try to tell guys, I'm like, if you have ideas that you think are crazy, run with them. Because to throw whatever against the wall and see what sticks.
Look at Matt Hardy. I mean, on paper, this doesn't make any sense, but I mean, he's rejuvenated his career, you know,
time and time again. And I remember, I tell this story all the time, when he started doing the broken Matt Hardy gimmick, I remember getting to the Universal Studios, going backstage, seeing Matt with the crazy hair and being like, I wonder, like no one knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know until we saw it performed. And I remember he came to the back and he said, like, I think I was the first person he saw. He was like, well, that is either going to be the best thing that ever happened in my career, or I just killed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how we thought. And I was like, that's so great. I don't know. I think I've grown so much as a wrestler and as a performer that I appreciate this, like Bray Wyatt. I love thinking outside the box. Like, mm-hmm. I think what he's doing is fantastic. It's different. Orange Cassidy, I love what he's doing. I just think it's different. Different is great and it's fun. And then on the same token, I love watching Gresham just be a technical wrestler.
Right.
You love all of it. It's that wrestling.
Yeah. And it's frustrating when people don't understand it. Like, you like women's wrestling? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be like a bikini match or a whipped cream. Like, they're athletes just like and the dudes.
I think intergender wrestling is, if I've seen some of the best matches I've ever seen have been intergender.
Oh, 100%.
So, anything Sarah Del Rey was in, like I watched her in Generico one time and I was like, that's the greatest match, like let alone a woman and a man. Like, that was just the greatest match ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you can watch a superhero on TV, that's a woman kick the crap out of a man and then he kicks the crap out of her. Or you can watch a woman just kick ass on TV and then the man beats. Why can't you do it in wrestling? Like, mm-hmm. Again, that's where we need to draw this line of like, no, we are actors. This is a role. My wife always says it. We need credits at the end of wrestling shows to say
100%.
Mike Bennett, even if I'm playing Mike Bennett as Mike Bennett, not. So then people know, okay, he played a role tonight.
Yep.
That was it. There's not this fine line of like, oh, is wrestling, is he really hitting a woman? No,
yeah.
No, not. It's a TV show. Let's understand that, you know? Right.
And then of course, all the stories you could tell what do, you know, with those types of matches too. So. Well, this may be the shortest question or the shortest answer. In my head, I think it's going to be no like that. So, but anyways, do you ever see yourself going back to WWE under any circumstances? I mean, you know, if they say, hey, blank check, do which, whatever. I mean, do you think there's anything that could get you to go back or learned your
lesson? I mean, right now, no, it would take, they would be like, we'll pay you $1 billion for the rest of your life. And I would be like, well, that might be hard to turn down.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's one thing, it's kind of, I had like a realization, not that long ago about why, because I always play that in my brain. Like, do you ever want to go back? And one of the hard things I have, one of the things that I have the hardest time coping with or dealing with that company is my values and their values. They just don't line up. Mm-mm. And that's a very difficult thing for me to try to like, just push aside.
Yeah.
I don't agree with, I did the shows, but I don't agree with their relationship with Saudi Arabia. That their values don't line up with my values. Just doing business with that. Like, that just doesn't align with my values as a human, with the way they treat women and the way they treat homosexuals. Like, that, it doesn't line up. I don't agree with that. So doing shows for them, that's hard for me to deal with. The way Vince runs his business through fear, and games and politics. I'm a 35-year-old man with kids. If you have a problem with me, just tell me.
Right.
With it. I don't play games. That was one of the reasons why I butted heads there. I don't do that. When I was 35, I did. 35 with kids and a mortgage and bills to pay and trying to survive. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. So I just, our values don't line up. When people in that company say things like philanthropy is the new PR or the new media, I'm just like, no, philanthropy is philanthropy. It's doing work because you can and you should. It has nothing to do with PR. So when I think of that, I don't know. And when you have kids, your mindset changes completely. Oh, yeah. And so exactly. It's like, yeah. And and your values change as a person. Mm-hmm. And when I had kids, my values changed. When I got sober, my values changed. And I went, this isn't for me. Yeah. The money's great, but I want to be able to look at my daughter and look at my son in their eyes and say, daddy didn't just do everything for money.
Oh, totally.
Daddy did it because he believes in stuff. You know, he believes in being a good person. He believes in treating people fairly. He believes that if you have a little extra to give, you should give it. Those are just values that I believe in. And so long story short term, no. If things drastically change over there, sure. I think they're, you know, but they would have to drastically change.
And we don't, unfortunately, you know, that's probably not going to happen while Vince is
still. People know how it needs to change. I don't need, you know, people know what needs to happen.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, what you said, I mean, it's been proven time and time again, the companies that run that way they may be successful as far as the bottom line goes, but as far as like happy employees and all that, I mean, it's, you know, not being direct with people, condescending, fear, like you said, I mean, that's not a productive place to work, you know? Right. And it's just,
you can't build a company on fear because you don't get the best out of people. What you get is people doing what they think you want as opposed to what is actually best.
Yeah.
And that's a problem because when you're the owner of a company and you don't delegate to people that are better, like I feel like I'm good at talking to people. when it comes to business and money, I am the worst. Yeah. I've never run a company where I handle the finances because I suck at it. And I know that. And I just, I've been really big into like what makes good leaders and what makes good, like, and a good leader is someone who's empathetic, and a good leader knows what he's not good at and delegates other people to do that. And I just, that's not how it works there. So,
well, we've got one last question for you, because I know you're a family man, so you got to get back to your family. And we've been on here for almost close to an hour. So where is the best place that people can keep up with you online?
Twitter. I love talking to fans on Twitter. I do my best to keep up with as many people as possible. It's at The Real Mike Bennett on Twitter. And then Instagram is The Real Michael Bennett. Someone took Mike Bennett and then, yeah, come on. Yeah, that I'm always on Instagram and I'm always on Twitter. Everything else, I'm slowly working into getting a Twitch, because like I said, I enjoy talking to people and talking to fans. So if I can just, you know, kill some time and talk to fans and enjoy it, I think I'll start doing that. But there'll be more. My wife's going to start one too, because, you know, I don't know, Twitch and females. Everyone loves Twitch and females playing video games. So I was like, start one. Why not? And she's like, all right. Yeah. So she'll start one. But I just want to talk to people because my wife is sick of talking to me.
Well, anytime you want to talk to people, you are more than happy to come on our show. Mike, we greatly do appreciate you taking the time out. And we're looking forward to seeing you beat Vincent this weekend on Ring of Honor.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I just want to say this, and I've been making it a point lately. I'm truly humbled when people want to talk to me, because in my head, I'm a nobody. Like I'm a kid who came from a small town in Massachusetts that got lucky and got to live his dream. So when people get like, they're like, we want to talk to you. It's humbling. It's the same way I feel when people ask me for an autograph. I'm like, you want me to sign? Like my signature's worthless. I'm humbled. I appreciate it. And again, I thank you for putting up with my technical difficulties.
It is all good. And like I said, I mean, it's an honor to have you on. You have been on our list of people to get on the show, even when you're with the past company, when I would reach out and be like, hey, we want to talk to Mike. No, we're going to send you so-and-so else. No, I didn't want so-and-so else. Yeah. I want Mike.
Who is he employed here? We have that guy employed.
They're looking at the clipboard like,
yeah,
they're like, Mike Bennett. Wait, are you sure? That's his last name?
Yeah, but it is an honor to have you on the show. We are super grateful to have you on. And of course, definitely anytime you want to come back on and talk wrestling, the invite's always open.
And when you're touring again, you'll have to come to the studio with the whatever belt or belts you've accrued by then.
Yeah. So. You guys are in Nashville, right?
Yes.
I love Nashville. I can't wait.
Great place. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Battleground Podcast. Make sure you give it 5 stars and a nice review. To stay up to date with the show, follow them at Battleground Podcast on Instagram.